I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the duck. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, is brought to you this week by Lynda.com.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Yes, I just had an interesting experience as I record the podcast, netcast/video this week. I forgot to turn on the camera. And I almost completed an entire 30-minute netcast. And none of it was recorded. So this will be take two. It's a shame, because take one was pretty good. This one, I don't care about. I enjoyed take one, the great lost episode of Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. We are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, where you have to remember to push the little red button. Okay, we're also proud members of the International Association of Internet Broadcasters, assuming they don't kick me out this week because I forgot to turn on my camera. I have my virtual water again. I'm going to need it for sure now that my throat has already gone through a 30-minute netcast and I didn't get it recorded. Okay. I will center myself and try this again. I've got to keep a good attitude because otherwise I'll just go and that won't do anybody any good. Take a page from my notebook. Just let it roll off you like water off the proverbial duck's back and move on. Okay. Not that I'm not just a little frustrated. I wouldn't be human if I didn't succumb to a slight amount of frustration. Okay. Centered? Yes. Yes. I'm in touch with my inner geek. All right, first item. Second go round, but first item. Amazon delivery by drone? This is, of course, what the interwebs were all a-Twitter about. Yes, I know, that's a little bit of a twist on the words. A-Twitter. But anyway, the interwebs were talking this week about the whole thing of Jeff Bezos appearing on CBS's, what was it, 60 Minutes? What was it he was on? He was on 60 Minutes, and he was talking about Amazon and their delivery system and all that. And he said, oh, by the way, Charlie Rose, he says, come with me. I'll show you something. And Charlie's like, do I want to do this or not? But anyway, they went back and looked at a new idea that they're playing with. Turns out Amazon's been buying up drone technology, which is actually quite scary to think about. But there's a reason for it. He wants to have delivery for in 30 minutes. Now, you know, now you can be Amazon Prime and you get free delivery in 2 days. But imagine if you could click a button and select 30-minute delivery. I know some of you are thinking about, what's it going to do? Appear in your living room, teleport it in. No, that's not this year. That's for the next decade. But this is almost as good. Now a little drone comes and picks it up and flies it to you. Yes, a drone just like that one right there. 8 rotors spinning madly. Now, I do think that it might be interesting As I saw someone point out on the interwebs, oh goody, skeet shooting with prizes! Okay, I can see people doing that. It wouldn't be legal, but, you know, somebody bought a little camera and they go bang and it drops in their lap and now they've got a camera, maybe with a bullet hole or two, but then they've shot down the drone. Humans are strange. Anyway, so I think it's a cool deal, though. I mean, whether or not it was just a publicity stunt or it's something they're really trying to get done or whatever, I don't care. It was cool. And it gave us something to talk about all week long. That's pretty cool. Anyway, let's talk about one of our sponsors. Our sponsor is Lynda.com, Lynda.com. Never misspell the name of your sponsor. Another good rule to live by. Press the red button. Don't misspell the name of your sponsor. Just saying. All of you out there that are taking notes about how to do a podcast. I know somebody sent you here. Watch this guy. This is how not to do a podcast. Like I said, I'm in a little bit of a mood. Having done this once before already. Anyway. Next item. Did I say we were proud members of the Tech Podcast Network? If I didn't, we are anyway. I don't remember, because I could have done it on the last show and didn't do it on this one. I'm so confused. Anyway. So Steam has a head of steam. That's the headline I wrote for this. It seems that even though Microsoft and Sony's new consoles have been selling pretty well, the real thing that's going on in the gaming world is PC gaming. And that, of course, usually means Steam. And Steam, from Valve is the company, Steam is the service, Steam had 7 million concurrent users for the very first time. That's for those of you in Rio Linda, the low information folks, that is at the same time. Now, their website could handle 7 million concurrent users at the same time. We're not saying the same thing about healthcare.gov. I'm sorry. just saying. I'm not being political here. I'm just pointing these things out, okay? Make that clear. So, game distribution service Steam just topped its 7 millionth concurrent online customer for the very first time in its history. This new record comes in the midst of the annual fall sale that Valve holds for its digital download platform. Pretty cool stuff. Now, I thought I was going to sneak it past Fred, but you don't really sneak anything past Fred. No. By the way, I got sidetracked from my being sidetracked a while ago, talking about how poorly I was doing with the netcast because I was confused that I forgot to finish the commercial for Lynda.com. If I'm turning red, it's because I am, yes, embarrassed. Just occurred to me that I left you hanging on the end of that commercial. The whole deal with Lynda.com is quite a deal. And that is you get 1 week free of learning anything from their vast array of training videos. So you can go to our website, drbill.tv, as it says there on the lower third. And you can click on the little box that has Lynda.com, and that will give you 1 free week of anything you want to view. And at your own time, on your own schedule, you can train on all kinds of things. foodlinda.com. That's awesome. So there you go. A slightly disjointed and delayed commercial. Anyway, when I was trying to slide past Fred, that didn't work. He played the Geek Software of the Week drumroll. Is because this week's Geek Software of the Week is actually the Geek Website of the Week. And usually we don't play the drum roll for the Geek Website of the Week because it's not software. But this week it is software. Okay? And a website. And software. And a website. It's getting confusing these days. The reason it's confusing is because the whole idea here of Roll App, ROLLAPP.com, Roll App, is they provide a service wherein you can virtualize your application and make it available in the Google Play Store for people with just browsers or with the Chromebook, the Google Chromebook, to be able to launch and run your applications, even your fat, as they call it, you know, large, fully installed applications. You can run those. Like, for instance, the full-blown version of LibreOffice is now available through Roll App in the Google Play Store, so that from your Chromebook you could run LibreOffice, Word, Excel, PowerPoint compatible Office product on Chrome from Roll App. You got it? No, some of you don't have it. I don't blame you. Let's do a demo of that right now.
All right, let's look at the Roll App apps in our web browser here. So what we want to do is we're in our Google Chrome web browser. We're logged in with our account, in this case my drbill@drbillbailey.net account. We go over here to the apps button, and there are our apps. Now if we click on more, you'll notice that among the apps that I have here are some, let's just go ahead and go full screen. That'll make it easier to see. Here we have our Roll App apps. So, let's choose LibreWriter on Roll App. Now, let me say before I even get to this point that the way I got this was going to the Google Store here and then installing LibreWriter on Roll App from the Google Store. All right? So that gives me a Chrome application in the browser. If I launch it, you notice it comes up here and says LibreOffice Writer on Roll App. You are a moment away from using LibreOffice Writer in your browser on any device. Now, it's wanting me to authenticate myself before I go on. So I'm going to do that with Twitter by authorizing the app. And it will allow me to log in. Now, I am logged into Twitter as my Word of Faith account. Wouldn't you know it? So let me go to twitter.com. I'm also in caps lock. I'm not sure how that happened. And I will log out of my Word of Faith account and sign in with my Dr. Bill account. I know I have a lot of Twitter accounts because I have many personas. What are you going to do? There we go. All right, so here I am logged in as myself. Now let's go back over here and switch accounts. I could have done that. Now, you see, I'm logged in as myself. See, you got to be logged in as yourself. You're not yourself, you're somebody else. And here we go. And you'll notice, finally, that we are officially in LibreOffice. Now, this is the real LibreOffice, full-blown, okay? So now if I start typing, this is, if I can spell, is a test. Actually, I'll let it autocorrect. You notice how that autocorrected? Yes, so here we are. This is a test. I will even increase the size and bold it. So this is actually LibreOffice. Now, if I save it, save as, you notice it will connect to my Dropbox. That's because I've set up my Dropbox to have a connection to my Rollapp account. Okay? You with me? So now I can go into Dropbox and I can save this in my BBN folder. Ta-da! How cool is that? Now, conversely, I could come over here and open a document from that same folder. And let's pick, let's see, what do I have here that might be useful? Here we go. While Squirrel Mail, notice it's connecting. While Squirrel Mail is better than local email. Okay? A document I previously wrote in LibreOffice, okay, that I'm opening through the cloud via Rollapp. You get the idea. Okay, so let's go ahead and exit LibreOffice. The application I just launched was LibreOffice Writer. Your application was open in a separate window. It's now safe to close this window. Okay, so I can close that, and I'm back into Twitter. So there you go. Now, let me go back over here to Apps. Notice I've got LibreOffice Writer. I've got LibreOffice Calc, and I've got Impress.
Okay.
All right.
Now do you got it? Hopefully so. Rollapp says of themselves, what is Rollapp? They ask themselves rhetorically because they know. There are three different answers to this question depending on your point of view. You know, I was like, that's like Obi-Wan told Luke, he said, yes, well, your father is dead from a certain point of view. And Luke said, a certain point of view? Well, same thing here. Depending on your point of view, there are three answers to that question. And here they are. Number one, for users, Rollapp is a software on demand service that instantly delivers existing third-party software applications to any web browser equipped device over broadband or 3G. Users can find and run online most of the software they need without installing it to their computers or other devices. Think of it as a YouTube for applications. That's odd. A place where software authors can publish their applications and then anyone can access them using a browser. Pretty cool. Next, secondly, it is for technology professionals. Rollapp is an online application virtualization platform. Once a software publisher installs their traditional desktop application onto the Rollapp server in the cloud, Rollapp instantly converts those applications to SaaS, SaaS, or Software as a Service, cloud-based version of that application. Then anyone can access Rollapp server using regular web browsers and launch the converted applications inside that browser. So any HTML type browser can launch it. When executed via browser, Rollapp applications behave the same way as they would if they were locally installed. This works for applications initially developed for any popular platform, including Windows, Unix, Linux, Mac OS, etc. And regardless of the operating system installed on the client locally of the computer or device. That's pretty cool. And then finally, thirdly, for businesses. RollApp is an application publishing platform that allows end users to get access to software on demand services using the freemium model. I like that, freemium. For software publishers, it instantly adds new features to their applications and provides a new distribution revenue channel. And for advertisers, it brings traditional TV-style advertising to non-TV devices, desktop computers, laptops, netbooks, smartphones, tablets, etc. Now, I have a video here of a demo that they did of OpenOffice on RollApp. But we all know OpenOffice has kind of gone the way of the dodo bird. It's passé. So what RollApp has done, kudos to them for this, they have put LibreOffice out there, and now that's what's available via RollApp. So the video is a little out of date, but it gives you the idea. And then they also have a video about the RollApp file opener for Firefox and Google Chrome, which allows you within your browser or your Chromebook, for instance, to click on a file type within the browser, and the file opener from RollApp will open it in the appropriate application, which is a RollApp version of the application. That's kind of cool, right? Do I bring you geeky stuff or what? Dude. So there you go. Geek website of the week, geek software of the week, all rolled, rolled. Get it? RollApp rolled into one. Yes. Okay. Water's good. Dihydrous oxide. Good for the human person. Okay, Windows 8 and 8.1 growth is slow. Windows 8 and 8.1 are not exactly taking off, folks. Microsoft is slightly chagrined. And for good reason. Could it be, in fact, Microsoft's stupid insistence on not having a real start button, even after they supposedly added it in Windows 8.1? No, actually, you hit their added start button, and you end up getting the Metro screen. That's the whole point, Microsoft, is to get away from the stupid Metro screen that nobody likes. So, of course, I always recommend install Classic Shell. ClassicShell.net, as it says there on the screen. Go there, install it, get your start button, your real one, back. Get your, you know, program, file, menu system back. Microsoft, you're just so lame. On so many levels, you're just so lame. Anyway, so, here's the headline from the Inquirer. They have a little tongue-in-cheek view of the computing world. And that's why I like it. The Inquirer says, Microsoft's Windows 7 still holds more market share than Windows 8 and 8.1 combined. Now that's, you know, you might say, well, so what? Windows 7's been around. Of course they probably have more market share. Yes, but that's not the end of it. In fact, Windows 7 is gaining more market share than Windows 8. So what Microsoft did this week is they yanked Windows 7 off the shelves and said, whoa, hold it. It's gaining more market share than the new one. So they yanked Windows 7 off the shelf so 8 would have to sell. Okay. So, you got to love the way they say this. They say, statistics provided by Net Applications in its net market share report for November show that Windows 8 and 8.1 have gained a mere 0.05%, with Windows 8 reaching a satanic 6.66%. Don't you love how they do things like that? Anyway, this is hardly market saturation 13 months after its release. Compare that to Windows 7, which despite being over 4 years old and is 18 months from end of life, still has 46.64% of the market. That's just a tiny increase of 0.22%, but it's a clear demonstration that most PC users are avoiding Windows 8. And they say they notice that people are going to computer shops, buying shiny new laptops, and intentionally then buying Windows 7 and downgrading their laptop to Windows 7 from Windows 8. Microsoft! Are you paying attention, Microsoft? Okay. Now, an aside. This is an aside for those of you that are fans of the show. Yeah, I know. You and you. Okay. Anyway, you know that I talk about this guy at work. Well, this guy at work this week said... Well, this guy at work decided he didn't want to be called this guy at work. But he also didn't want me to use his real name. So he suggested I call him Jim Bob. So I decided further that we'll call him Jim Bob, but his full name will be Jim Bob, not his real name. Okay? Because Jim Bob is not his real name. However, he is the guy... Jim Bob is that is about my age, a little younger than I am, but roughly my age. Still got some gray hair. But anyway, he is a Microsoftie to the core, all the way through, down to his toes. His toenails are owned by Microsoft. He's drunk so much of the Microsoft Kool-Aid, he's turned purple. No, I'm kidding. But the point is, he is fully Microsoft-ized. And he thinks Google's the devil, and says so constantly. Good old Jim Bob. So anyway, Jim Bob will not like this next spot. This is my own reasons to love the Google Chromecast. This is not taken from an article somewhere on the web. These are ones that I wrote myself. Just being clear. Number one, you can watch anything while that you can view in your web browser on the Chromecast. And I know I say that over and over and over again, but you're still not getting it, folks. And as I say here, I'm thinking that folks aren't getting this feature even yet. For instance, there are TV shows on CBS and other TV networks, websites, where they have full episodes available to view on the website in your browser. Well, if you're using the Chrome browser and you cast that tab using your Chromecast and you use the player in full screen mode, guess what? You will get that TV show full screen on your HDTV. So if you miss NCIS on CBS, then you can go watch it on your HDTV through the Chromecast. You see? It's pretty cool stuff. Now, further, let's say you wanted to watch Ruby, R-W-B-Y, Ruby, the webisode from roosterteeth.com, the website. I know some of you are going, Ruby from the what? The what? The who? Trust me, go watch Ruby on roosterteeth.com. It's cool, and it's got a cool intro music thing. I can hear it in my head. Wow! If you listen closely, maybe you can hear it. Cool. Anyway, didn't know that my ears leaked. Anyway, the point is, sound, you know, it would never mind. Anyway... You go to Rooster Teeth, you play Ruby in their player, you put it full screen, you cast the tab, you get the idea, right? Beginning to understand? So whether it's a network show, like if you're a cord cutter, or you're watching a webisode, you can do it using Chromecast. I like it. Number two, watch your own local files off your hard drive, your local videos. What? What you say, Dr. Bill? That's not possible with a Chromecast. That was a big point of controversy some time ago. Again, you don't get it. Using your Chrome browser. This guy. No, not that Bowser. Browser. Using your own browser, you can do a Control-O. As in open, Control-O within your Chrome browser, that will open up a file tool. You can go find your video, play it within the browser, and of course, it will show up if you cast the tab to your TV. So there you go. And then finally, number three. What if you wanted to show somebody your whole screen, your whole PC screen? Like maybe you're trying to train them on something, and you've got your laptop here in front of you, you've got a whole room full of people, and they're going, I can't see that little screen. Well, you can cast your screen up on an HDTV, and they can all watch it together. What you say? You could do that? Yes, it's an experimental feature, but you can do it. All you got to do is in your browser, you go up to your cast this tab option and pick the drop down there, and it says experimental feature, cast your whole screen. Now it's a little buggy and a little slow, and you may see it go black first and then show your screen, but it does work. I've tried it and it does work. Cool stuff. So there you go. Reasons to love the Google Chromecast. Jim Bob's sitting there going, rawr, 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 Google is the devil. Yes, Jim Bob, we know. But they're not Microsoft. Okay. Next item. Why is the mighty Microsoft scared of a Linux-powered Chromebook? Microsoft is fighting against Chromebooks hard, I say in the article. Spending tons of holiday ad money dissing Google's Chromebook. Why? Why, I ask you. Isn't Microsoft the undisputed leader in the PC world? No, not anymore. In fact, I myself have asked Santa Claus, meaning my wife. She's Santa's helper in this case. I actually look more like Santa Claus than she does, and she doesn't look anything like Santa Claus, so I digress. The point is, I have asked for a Chromebook. Now, I don't know if I'm going to get a Chromebook. That's besides the point. The point is that as a geek, I want to know, can I live off of a Chromebook for an extended period of time? Or will I need a computer other than a Chromebook? It is a worthy challenge. That's a French word, by the way. Okay, it's not a French word. I don't know. But still, it's something one can do as a thing. And I do things. So, I think it would be fun to see. Plus, you can carry it around and have your Chromage whenever you need it. So, I've been playing with that idea just a bit. In fact, I did a demonstration this week for a whole room full of techies and non-techies alike about our VDI setup at the hospital where I work. And it went very well. It worked well using Chrome's own Chrome application that is PowerPoint-like to show it. And it had the added benefit that after I finished it, I put up a shortened Google URL to link to that slideshow so they could write it down, take it home, and see it anytime they want to. That's pretty cool. So, I'm getting ready to experiment along that line. Anyway, the article here from The Verge asks the question, why is Microsoft scared of Chromebooks? It's pretty much a brick, says Pawn Stars Rick Harrison, as he rejects a Samsung Chromebook brought in by an actor playing a customer. Microsoft really doesn't want you buying this thing, but why? Just how big of a threat are Chromebooks? Google's oft-ridiculed web-only laptop to Microsoft's core business. Well, in many ways, 2013's been the year of the Chromebook for Google. From Acer's $199 C720 2848 to HP's $279 Chromebook 11, it's attracted traditional PC makers to build a variety of low-cost laptops in time for the holidays. While Microsoft has largely ignored the threat previous to this, since the first Chromebooks launched nearly 2 years ago. It's been on the attack this year before Christmas. In recent weeks, as part of its ongoing Scroogled campaign, following the Pawn Stars bit, the company has also recruited its own Ben the PC Guy, who has hit the streets for comparisons between Windows 8 and a Chromebook. So they're kind of shaking in their boots over there. Now, The Verge here says, Microsoft's latest effort to undermine the Chromebooks feels more like a Mac versus PC ad campaign from many years ago. Now, I dispute that slightly. I think it's more like a Linux versus Mac versus PC campaign. Like the YouTube video that I have a link to here in the article that shows Linux as this girl who comes up and says, "Hi, I am Linux," to PC and Mac. It's a fun little set of commercials. You need to go look on YouTube and put in Linux versus PC versus Mac. You'll find it. Anyway, so I have a picture of them in the article as well. And I'll put it up here too. Cool. Anyway, Microsoft is spooked. And I mean, first they're fooling around and messing up with their Windows 8.1 start button fiasco. Now they're all upset about Chromebooks because they're cheap and easy to use and never get virus infections, and little old ladies can use them even though they don't know squat about anything because they can use a web browser. And Microsoft is being Microsoft about it. So you gotta love that. Microsoft's having some holiday heartburn. And Jim Bob's sitting there going, "Google is the devil." Anyway, last item for the week. Have you been pwned? Now, as you know, P-W-N-E-D, pwned, is a geekish way of saying owned or taken over or otherwise security-wise being owned, pwned. You'll get it. Anyway, security maven Troy Hunt has created a website that allows you to test your email address to see if you've been pwned by recent security break-ins of user database lists. Now, I've already shown you one that will show you whether you've been pwned by Adobe's leak, but this one shows you all the major ones, okay? So you can go to haveibeenpwned.com, and you will see, and I've got a link there in the website, where you can see whether you have been pwned. Now, I checked my address. I have not. I checked my wife's address. She has not. I checked my son's address. He has not. We're all good netizens, okay? And we change our passwords, and we're good folk. But you may have been pwned. I tried my buddies, not Jim Bob now, but another buddy of mine who's constantly getting viruses and so forth. I tried his email address. Oh, yeah, he got pwned. Sorry, it's just true. So you can check you and your family's email addresses against HaveIBeenPwned.com and see if indeed you are doomed. Saying. Yes, my virtual water is all gone now. So that means the netcast should be over, particularly since I've done it twice. Not four times, twice. I'm tired now. So it's time once again for the doctor to say that the doctor is out of here.
Bill the Computer Curmudgeon is a production of DrBillBailey.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto appertaining.